Hey kids, wanted to give you a quick context for this show. Okay, so I had originally planned to put out another show today, and I'd spoken to my friend Jamie Harris last week, who had some shows this week. She was like, hey, can I drop by and do one of those 10-minute things before your show to promote my shows? I was like, sure. And so then we ended up hanging out on Sunday at the All ATX show. We were having such a good time, I thought, well, maybe it'll be fun to talk about this on the podcast. So I asked her if she'd come in and do the intro of the podcast. We'd talk about her shows. We'd talk about All ATX. I'd talk about my weekend and whatnot. And then I would have the regular show. But what ended up happening is that Jamie and I were having such a good time talking that I didn't want to stop. So I just let it go. So here is my conversation with my friend Jamie Harris. Enjoy it. Hey guys, let's face it, you're probably listening to this show and all of the other shows on your phone. Tired of filling up your phone with all your favorite podcasts? Well, try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream tens of thousands of shows right to your smartphone or pad. Get the very best in news, comedy, entertainment, science, and sports delivered right to your phone or pad. Find it at Stitcher.com or in your app store. That's Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Johnny Howdy.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Today, I am joined by a lovely co-host for the intro, my dear friend, Jamie Harris. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning.
It's like a morning show.
I know, it's amazing.
See, we could have a morning show.
Oh, I love it.
Do you wake up early?
Absolutely not. This is so rare. This will never happen again.
It's literally 5 minutes after noon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are going to put out your first solo album ever.
Ever. Yeah. We're looking at April of next year, but it is like we've been working on this record since April of 2016 and with Craig Ross, who's awesome. And now Mark Hallman is mixing and mastering it. He's also awesome.
He's awesome. And, yeah. I'm very interested in hearing that because those are two guys that I know have very different sort of like sonic executions of things. And both of them I love.
Yeah.
But it's going to be very interesting to see what comes out of this.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm really excited.
Do you know how many people are like just excited? Like you realize you're going to have to, as soon as this record comes out, like in May, you're going to have to start like putting all the work towards the next one.
Oh, man.
Because you can't wait this long.
Well, I can't
wait. Are you, like 27 years old?
27.
Yeah. You can't
TikTok.
Wait another 27 years.
No.
People have been waiting 27 years for this record.
I've gotten the Willis Allen Ramsey joke so many times. You wouldn't believe it.
What's that?
Well, you know Willis Allen Ramsey.
I know.
The guy that put out one record.
What did he say? What's his song?
Muskrat Love.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I do know. Yeah. I mean, I okay.
Yeah. So I've just, people are like, oh, you're like Willis Allen Ramsey. We're going to put out one and never do that one again.
Before we get into this thing, we were at a thing yesterday, the All ATX concert, which you were gracious enough to have me as your guest, you and Jane, and you were singing with Jane. And what's the nice lady also that was singing with Jane? She's tall.
Yeah, Mary Claire.
Mary Claire. She's fantastic.
She's awesome. She's in that band Shy Beast.
Yeah, they're going to come on the show.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, actually, do you have her email or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so we were there at a thing, and like in a Willis Allen Ramsey way, there was now I can't even think. There was Jane Ellen Bryant, who is a Texas singer-songwriter with three names, so she fits into the Willis Allen Ramsey.
Totally.
Gary P. Nunn was there.
Michael
Martin Murphy. John D. Graham.
John D. Graham.
William Harris Graham.
Yeah.
And then there was like Jeff Klein, some guys with not three names.
Right.
My Jerusalem. And
Eric Tesmer. How great was he? Wow.
Yeah.
With that guy, James Robinson guy. Yeah. Oh, so good.
That guy's. Yeah. I was going to go to a party at his house last night.
Yeah.
But while waiting for my Uber, I knew I had to come home and get a jacket. When I got in the Uber, I was like, I'm not going to a place. I got this to do.
Yeah.
And the baseball game kept me up late.
Yeah.
I went to bed at 11. I was trying to text Jamie like all these. I'm watching the greatest baseball game to like someone who just is like, whatever, dude.
No, I was just asleep. I had to sleep.
So it was a great time. And it was an interesting combination of music. And those guys give give all the proceeds. Oh, John Fogerty.
John Fogerty.
He also played. We forgot the headliner.
Yeah, John Fogerty. Man, I thought that My Jerusalem cover of that Guy Clark tune was so awesome. And it came out great on the record, too.
I didn't hear the record.
Oh, it's good.
I thought you guys doing that that song. I must have been through about a million girls. But you guys did it in a different key, didn't you?
We did it.
And you did it in 4/4.
In 4/4.
I'm just proving to the world that I can play that song.
Love it.
But I was thinking of another song when I started playing it. That's why I got weirded out.
Oh.
Anyway. So anyway, we had a good time. Thank you for having me. We saw a lot of great bands, saw a lot
Thanks
of cool
for
people.
Coming.
Yeah. They had a bar in the back. Jody Denberg was doing
the
things.
I love Jody Denberg so much. Huge fan.
Do you feel like, okay, so Jane came up in this thing, and I pretty kind of came up in this thing. Do you feel when you're in that situation, like, ah, it's my family. Like, there's my weird Uncle John D. Graham. You know what I mean?
It's funny. Like, I still have all the butterflies of it. I moved to Austin because I heard that there was a place where James McMurtry played twice a week, you know, and then I got to see John D. Graham and like was a huge fan of him. And I've gotten to work with him a little bit and to sing these songs. I mean, to see like Gary P. Nunn, you know, I've seen him before and I've opened for him before. Like Jack Ingram is actually a huge part of my musical like fabric growing up. I was a really big fan of his songs. And I think he does a lot of really good things for young songwriters. And Bruce Robinson and Kelly Willis was someone I was listening to when I was learning how to write songs. So for me yesterday, I was like, I still have the butterflies of like, am I really here kind of thing? So I feel accepted in every time, which is amazing, you know, and Jody's been so cool but it's still like, I don't know, the excitement of it hasn't worn off for me.
You know, there's also an excitement around, I know this sounds funny to hear, but having been around here for a long, there's a lot of excitement around you. Like when you bring up a Jamie Harris and people are like, oh yes, I love Jamie Harris. You know what I mean? And it's almost to the point where people are saying it. You don't know if they've even heard you yet or not. They're just like, oh, yeah, no, she's great.
Yeah, one time someone was like, I listened to you on Spotify. And I was like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
It's okay if you don't know who I am. I haven't done anything yet.
You know? But they've heard and they know. It's the same people that tell me that they watch my podcast all the time.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm like, oh, you watch them? Oh, they're great, aren't they? They're hilarious.
ouch.
But they're trying to be a part of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
So that's an exciting thing. And your record's going to come out in April.
Yeah.
Is what you're shooting for.
Absolutely.
So you want to talk about some shows that you have going on this week. Thursday, November 2nd, you're playing at the Cactus Cafe with Danny Click.
Yeah.
You guys are doing separate sets or together?
Yeah. Well, that night, actually, we're doing an acoustic night where Danny is going to be playing guitar for me and singing with me. And then he'll be playing with like an acoustic type band. And if you don't know who Danny Click is, we actually met each other in Okemah at the Jimmy LaFave tribute. Danny's living in the Bay Area now, but he lived in Austin and played in Jimmy LaFave's band for quite some time. And anyway, so he's coming, you know, all the way from California to do these gigs. And so we're going to do this acoustic show on Thursday at the Cactus, which will be great because the place is just magic. And then on Saturday, we're doing a full band show at One to One.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say something about the Cactus. You're right. It is magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that room.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's fun. Really fun to play. They have an open mic there now that Casey Crowley runs.
Yeah.
Saturday, November 4th, you're at 1 to 1 Bar. Both of you guys are playing full bands. What full time band. Does Danny go on?
I'm playing at 10:30, and I think Danny's at 11:30 or 12.
And what all is you? Is it going to be like the John Green, Sela?
Actually, we're going to have Jim Eccles from the Bell Sounds on drums, and Brian Patterson on guitar.
I love Brian. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah, he's the nice.
So good.
Clyde's dad. He just had him and his wife just
Clyde's
had a baby.
Dad. I saw the pictures yesterday. What a
cute.
Great day.
Such
people
awesome
see
day.
Showing babies. That's like cousin Brian.
Yes.
Right? You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. You're right.
So weird.
Weird.
I get like, and especially after like three drinks, and I'm like looking around and I'm like, I love Tony Scalzo.
Oh, I you love know what him I mean? Too. Like, he's great.
I really was starting to feel like that last night. I'm glad I left.
Yeah.
Before I did that to John Fogerty. Like he's not even part
off
of our
the,
life.
Off the mic, I'll have to tell you a great John Fogerty story after this. But anyways, I just can't tell it on the mic.
So,
and Jane's going to sing background vocals and Chris Nelson. And
Yeah. Chris Nelson on the bass. We both have Chris Nelson in common.
Yes.
Chris Nelson is from Whole Foods in the early 90s, along with Frenchie.
Yeah.
So weird. What a, it's, it is, it's like a, just a weird thing. Like, oh, there's cousin Frenchie and his girlfriend.
Aww.
There's cousin Chris Nelson. You do, you got to feel like that because you, you're out all the time. Like you're more of an active member of the family than I am.
I don't know about that, but.
You're always out there going to the family things all the time. You go out and see music all the time.
I do. I mean, I grew up in a place where, I mean, you had to learn how to make your own fun, and I'm grateful for that. But there wasn't a lot of live music where I grew up, and I just feel like, why not take advantage of, it's like getting, you know, an education. Like the other night we went and saw, you know, the Clifford Antone birthday party thing, which is Sarah Brown, just total badass on the bass. I love her, you know, Marsha Ball, Shelley King, Carolyn Wonderland, Rosie Flores, Eve Monsies, you know, it was like $15 or whatever. And I got to just watch and go, wow. You know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you can do here. It's like amazing. I don't know. I just can't resist getting an education like that.
What was the song you were singing me the other day? I can understand why you treat you like you do when you're such a good man. Da,
yeah. Na, na.
Oh, yeah. I love that song.
It's great.
You get. I was in my mind then after we talked. After that, it's kind of been popping through. It's a great song.
It's a great song.
It's weird because you know what? It does take someone. Not that I'm jaded, but once you've lived, I mean, in 20 years from now, you probably won't be going out as much as you are
every night.
You know what I mean?
Totally,
seeing everyone you possibly maybe you will. You never know. But there. It's nice when someone like you and I talk. Or I see your posts on social media and I'm like, oh yeah, this is really like, it's very unique. It's very awesome. I mean, like last night, that concert was supporting all these nonprofits that other cities don't have, like a Sims. They don't have a ham. They don't have a Austin Music Foundation. They don't have a Black Fret.
Yeah. You know, Jane went to Belmont and she has some good friends that we stayed with on tour, some in Nashville and some in LA. And they would love to have services like that, you know, where they're living. And it seems, you know, it's, those are hard places to live too on so many different levels, you know, like, you know, the community is there is different than it is here, you know, and, but yeah, we're lucky to have those.
You know what I think I've noticed is that there's not, that Austin has this unique ability to support each other and support itself, like support its own scene. I think because of the lack of competition, because there isn't like huge business here. And it's not like when you go do a show with Jane, you know, David Geffen might show up, might miss your set that he was supposed to see her and sign her. You guys live together. That would be weird. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I have a theory, actually.
Okay, tell me your theory.
So I have a theory. I started thinking about this because I'm in, you know, kind of in the folk scene and I play a lot of house concerts, especially with my friend Tom Meaney. Mm-hmm. Thinking about how you've got all these
he's our friend.
Oh, I loved. Oh, he's our friend.
Yeah,
that's
he's our friend. Yeah.
And you know, it's like for a house concert series, you might have 12 gigs a year. You've got people that go to Folk Alliance that are from all over the country that are competing for 12 gigs. Well, in Austin, we have a sheer large number of venues, so we don't have to physically fight each other. I mean, not physically, but we don't have to fight each other for places to play. I mean, you go to cities that have bigger industries, they have, you know, less venues, or there are reasons that you shouldn't play out as often as you can. And so that kind of allows us to work with each other, I think, because we don't have to fight each other for the actual slots to play. You know,
that's
I think
true.
That's unique to this city.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What, I just like you, Jamie. I was just thinking, I'm sorry, when you were talking, I was just like, I remember when I was talking to you at Arlen that night, and then I went to Continental Club, and we were talking, and I was like, I sure hope that I, like, stay, in, like, this stays a thing.
Aww.
Where I can talk to this person.
Thanks.
Because you are, like, amazingly talented. You're such a brilliant songwriter.
Thank
we never
you.
Finished that song.
It's I have saved
but like
that
you
chorus.
Know I played that for Scrappy and he was like, oh my god, that is the greatest thing. So we gotta finish it. Yeah, for Scrappy.
Oh yeah,
I gotta record some songs for Scrappy. Okay, so we still have some time. I just looked up at the clock just to make sure I didn't let it wasn't like 45 minutes later because I've been having I'm just in like mesmerized by the lovely Jamie Harris. So there's another thing you're doing, which is the big band bash at Hilltop Cafe.
Yeah.
Which goes from November 8th to November 12th. But you are playing November 8th with Jeff Plankenhorn and said Scrappy.
Yes. I'm so excited. So if you guys haven't been out to the Hilltop Cafe, it's like in between Fredericksburg and Mason. And Johnny Nicholas owns it. Are you familiar with him? Have you had him on the show?
I've not had him on the show, but I hear a lot of me and Scrappy get together and work on songs, and I get a lot of Johnny Nicholas stories. Sounds like a cool guy.
He's an interesting guy. Yeah. And he's got this place. It's just an incredible restaurant.
Right.
And the people that work there are just really awesome, and it's just really vibey. And anyways, but this is going to be the 20th anniversary of this concert series that they've done. And so all the proceeds go to benefit music and theater programs for school or for kids in that area, in the Fredericksburg area. And so some of the, you know, awesome headliners are Marsha Ball and Jimmy Vaughn, Walt Wilkins, Flaco Jimenez.
Jimmy Vaughn?
Yeah, Jimmy Vaughn.
That's so great.
Man, I've been going to see him on Saturday nights or, you know, at Seaboys with so awesome.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm really excited and to be a part of it. And, yeah, we're playing on the 8th, but the show goes from the 8th to the 12th, so you can stop in any night of the week and check it out for a good cause. And it's just awesome getting out there, too.
Do you know what the website is for that?
Yeah, it's hilltopcafe.com.
Okay, that's easy. Yeah. Hilltopcafe.com, and it would be under the Big Band Bash.
Yes.
How long, like, when does, is it like outside or something?
It's
or is
inside
it
in the inside restaurant.
Yeah. And how many people a night?
Oh, you know, I'm not sure. I have an email that says that information, but I'm not sure. Oh, but you know what? There's a mystery guest each night. So I happen to know the headliner for the night that I'm playing, and I'm like freaking out excited. I can't tell you who it is, but it's awesome. So every night there's like a special guest that's not going to be announced on the bill. That's really, really awesome. And the Hilltop is pretty small, so it would be a really cool environment to see that person in. Like, they also do this they also do a gospel brunch out there. It's normally Johnny Nicholas, Kelly McQuee, and Bill Small. I went to check it out a couple weeks ago, and Ray Wiley Hubbard was there and got up and played. So you kind of never know who's going to be around, and it's just a really cool place. You just got to go there.
That Kelly McQuee is also a special person.
Yeah, I don't know her very well, but I'm just starting to get to know her.
I like her a lot. She literally ran into me last week. Like, literally, like, ran into me out, like, walk. I was walking out of the Saxon Pub, and she just, like, literally barreled right into me. But I couldn't have been happier. Aww, you know what I mean?
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I love it
she's
when she really DJs, talented. Too, on Sun Radio.
Yeah.
So good.
I want to be a DJ, I think, now, too.
Yeah?
No, I don't. I think I want to. No, because you'd have to do what people tell you.
Don't I thought
you?
I wanted
or
to.
Can you do that on Sun Radio?
You know, I don't know how that works over there. I recently did a radio show where I got to co-host and like pick some tunes or whatever. And I was really excited about it. But I had like, I used to make mixtapes in high school and stuff. Like they would get passed around to people. And I would make one every month. And it was a lot of pressure. I don't think I could do that every day or every week or whatever.
My
I just
friend
feel
Todd,
too much responsibility.
My friend Todd does that Wimberley radio station. He's got a show like 3 days a week on there.
Cool.
Toddy and the Cat or something.
Okay.
It's really cool. He plays like, you know, new wave.
Oh,
British
wow.
New wave music, yeah. Do you like British new wave music? Do you like Kiss?
I do like Kiss, actually.
You do? But like, what era of Kiss? Like, do you like the early Kiss?
No, I like Love Gun, and I I'm a huge pinball. Actually, I think after this, I'm gonna go to pinballs and play a little bit of pinball because it's
really?
Been a little while. But yeah, you know, Kiss always has the most kick-ass pinball machines, and you can choose the song. You know, for most of them, I love them.
They also have the most badass Pez dolls.
Oh, those are great.
And you know, Fisher Price Little People. Remember those? They didn't have arms.
Oh yeah, totally.
Look, I got an Ace Frehley one next to the Ace Frehley on his knees. That's an Ace Frehley.
Oh my gosh, little person.
Yeah. I got a lot of great picks. There's a nice lady that comes to a lot of Skyrocket shows, and she gives me gifts. She gives me cookbooks. She gives me records.
Wow.
Her and her husband are super cool, like really nice, nice folks that unfortunately get flooded every 2 years in Houston and have to move to a new home. Mm. But they go to a lot of shows and get like the VIP package you can get. Like, I think they're probably paying like $2,000 like to go see Rick Springfield or something. But like per ticket.
Yeah.
But they go to this meet greet, and then, you know, they always like try and give me souvenirs from stuff. Like they gave me this weekend, she gave me all these picks from Cheap Trick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cheap Trick.
Yeah. That's you know that really you awesome. See that checkered
Yeah, the strap.
That's actually was Rick Nielsen's.
You're just keeping it in that box like that?
It's really long. It's not, you can't adjust it. It's literally made for him.
Wow.
So I, like, whenever I'm going to cut a cool guitar part, I put on that strap.
Aww.
I put that strap on.
You put the strap. I was hoping you'd go there. I was so hoping that you were going to say strap on. Yes.
Jamie Harris, what else can we talk about? This has been, it's just lovely to have you here. And thanks, I like that. I like that people are going to get to hear it because it's, my feelings for you are true.
Aww.
You're a special person. You are.
Thank you.
All this, the other night when I the people that I've met in the last, like, couple of years, like you and Daisy and Jane and Jackie Venson.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
another
I love
person
her too.
That I get on with very well.
Oh, cool.
She's cool.
Yeah, I like her a lot. Yeah. I don't ever get to see her very much, but I really like her.
Are you going to be on tour a lot in the fall? Are you doing, like, how... You're
you
playing a lot.
The rest of the year, you mean?
Yeah.
We're going to take it kind of easy. It's weird. My band has never played at the Saxon Pub. And I've been hanging out there a lot just because, you know, after Strange Brew closed, I had to find a new place to hang out. And I'll kind of like hang out at the same place for a long time and then kind of move on. But I get kind of obsessive with things. But I've been hanging out at the Saxon a lot. And so I decided I really wanted to play there. So we're playing there on a late night on a Wednesday. I think it's like December 13th. And then we're taking the band out to Terra Lingua, doing some stuff like that. I'm playing in New York. But next year, I'm really going to pull back and not play as much. I want to do some co-writing and like explore that world a little bit and also get a lot of song ideas collected, you know, for maybe the next record.
Album, yeah.
Because I have been writing a lot and I just kind of want to take a step back. Like I've kind of took a step back this month and was able to do things like reorganize my house and like reestablish healthy habits, you know, just because I want to be like really spiritually fit before I release this record, you know. And maybe it's like crazy to think that way, but I've been doing this 17 years and I've never released one. So it's like I feel like I've been really careful throughout this whole process, and I just want to be really as ready as I can be and know that I gave it the best chance so that no matter what happens with it, I can just be at peace with it and go, I tried everything I could, you know?
You really came out with like, I mean, it's a, who all plays on the album?
Oh,
is it your band?
Well, Craig Ross plays over it, you know, all over it, and it's beautiful. All sorts of really cool stuff. And Bonnie Whitmore played bass, and John Green on drums, and Brian Patterson played a lot of guitar and piano, and Betty Sue sings on it, Sela and Chris Nelson sing on it, and Mike Hardwick came in and played on two tracks. And there's a song on there that Craig and I wrote together that I don't play live, but is really cool that Mike Hardwick played on that I'm looking forward to getting out into the world.
When does a friend of yours get to hear this?
I don't know. I'm going to go stop in and see Mark today and kind of see where we're at. But I bet
that's a way. If I just dropped by and like just stood there and waited till he was working on it, and then like walked in and listened,
you can work that out with Mark.
I could just go ask for my old room back.
Yeah, you could just yeah.
Hey man, I'm moving back in. This is ridiculous. I want to live here again.
Oh, you should.
I that's how I met Marsha Ball. She was recording there.
She's so great.
Yeah. She is great.
Great. And I'm so excited to see her the other night because I never get to see her. Her schedules never work out, so.
I did this weird stuff with her. Like,
like, what?
Well, the TV was kind of on my side of the thing, and there were people doing shit, and she would, you know, be like, you know, whatever. So she, you know, there weren't, like, computers then or anything. Couldn't be on your phone. So she'd be like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, nothing. And then she'd go like, do you have E? And I'd be like, yeah. And so we would watch, like, the nightly news on the E channel together and kind of make fun of everyone. And then at the end of the week, there was this bowling thing. And she was like, oh, hey, have you ever bowled? And I was like, yeah. She was like, you want to be on my team? And I was like, yeah. And so I was on this bowling team with her.
Wow.
Yeah. No, that's such a... Mark Holman afforded me many, many cool experiences.
Do you like skee ball?
No.
Oh.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I do, but I'm not going to go to a place specifically to skee ball. Like I
don't want to be on a skee ball.
I don't go to this
me.
Hipster bingo place down the place. Like, yeah, you know what's sad? the people
you bingo place?
Oh my God, it's gigantic. It's like the size of like an old grocery store, and it's just like a, it's like two blocks and across the street. And
I've never played bingo before. I think that's not good for my addictive personality. I feel like I would get really into it.
Dude, but you should see the people that are going in there. It's just like walking down, like walking into the Mohawk on like a big night, like dudes with beards, like super hipster dudes with like wax mustaches and like, and then like sad Mexican grannies.
What is that?
What, the sad Mexican granny? Yeah.
I'm just, you know, recently I went vintage shopping, and here's the thing, like this past weekend, is that like I have this like my body shape, just like things have to work in a certain way for the clothes. I don't know. I just have this weird body. And so since I was a kid, I've been dressing like Stevie Nicks, you know, and like from the 70s or like whatever. And I'm really glad that the 90s thing has come back, because it's a nightmare for me. I'm like, no, these clothes were a nightmare for me in the 90s. Yeah. But now all of the cool like 70s stuff, since it's like less in style, is going untouched. And I'm like, thank God. Like, please leave like the flowy dresses for the girls that need them, please. You know?
Yeah.
And I can't wear high-waisted pants like that, like the mom short thing.
I think that looks weird.
And what's up with dudes dressing like dads, like people's dads? Is that attractive to people? I don't understand.
Do you have to go somewhere in the next, like...
Are you going to explain it to me?
No, in the next, like, do you have to go anywhere in, like, the next...
No.
20 minutes?
No.
Can we just do this as a show? Can this just be a show? It just started with us talking, and we're just talking. Because I don't want to stop. And then I don't want to have poor Matt
have
like a 45-minute two people talking before it gets to this heavy thing. So my guest isn't Matt Hammond. No. Oh, shit. I'll go back and take that out.
Okay. Yeah.
This is just fun. Aren't you having fun?
I'm having a great time.
Me too. And this is what I think people should know happens with other people.
Yeah.
That, I don't even know what that means, but we are having a good time.
I don't know why
talking.
I talk so long about my body shape. Or is that the part you're going to cut out?
No. I was going to cut out the part that this show actually had a guest on it. That wasn't us just shooting the shit. But this is what people need to hear, I think, today. Right. It's Halloween.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
This show will be coming out on Halloween.
It's my mom's birthday today.
That is weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. Right?
Oh, shit.
That's my mom's death day.
I forgot.
That's your mom's birthday.
Oh, my God. I'm an asshole.
No,
God.
You're not an asshole. Your mom has every right to be born.
I feel like an asshole.
Well, I think that's unbelievably weird.
That is weird.
That's cosmic. Do you think that's cosmic?
I know. Do you think that means something?
I don't know. But you want to hear something weird about that?
Yeah.
Check this out, okay? So when I was a kid, my mom had two best friends from like one of them from the time I was 3 months old. And one of them from the time that I was maybe a year and a half or 2 years old, 2 years
right.
old, okay? So their kids, they both of these ladies had children my age and children a little younger. So these kids are like my best friends for my whole life, still to this day. One lives here, one lives in Houston. Each of us had a parent murdered. That's like, it sounds weird to say, but that's like a statistic of kids like that grow up in like a rough neighborhood, like a bad, right. like we're all like kids like from the Woodlands and like,
right.
you know, normal, Spring Branch. They lived in Boulder. Crime doesn't happen in Boulder. But yeah, isn't that odd? That's an
really
odd
strange.
Statistic. I was talking to my aunt about that the other day. I was like, isn't that weird? And she was like, wow, I've never even thought about that. I was like, you know, I talked with one of them about it. And that's one day we were eating. And then all of a sudden they're like, it's weird. And I was like, oh, you know, James's dad was murdered too. They were all different kind of scenarios. One of them was a drug thing. Another thing was like a mob thing.
Wow.
Which was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy was like a pawn shop owner guy. You know, and like, I guess in the 70s and stuff, pawn shops were real loaded with nefarious characters.
Wow.
Okay, so your mom's birthday is Halloween.
Yeah.
And so are you going to dress up for Halloween? Sorry, I'm going to take us out of that. I'm sorry, you know, I don't mean to go
No, I'm glad that you talk about it.
I'm glad that you're here to listen. And once again, like we said before this came on, I feel like that about you since I met you. Like, I just feel like, when I see you. Remember, I didn't know you well enough to tell you how bummed out I was that I ran into my ex when she was with the guy on the bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
On a BMX bicycle. I lost a girl to a guy on a BMX bicycle.
What did you say to him, though, that was so funny?
What he said to me, he's like, oh, hey, where can I park my bike where no one will take it? It's like, just put it behind the bar over there. But, Jesus, that's just weird. But you make me feel like that. Okay, so your mom's birthday is Halloween. So Halloween, do you traditionally dress up? Do you do a thing?
I traditionally dress up, but, you know, I got a lot going on this week, like with these shows and stuff. So, and it's a night that I can just go home and like hang out with Jane, maybe if she's around, and just chill. So I think I probably won't. Maybe we'll like hand out candy this year.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder like how many people do that now, because it seems they're, you know, I don't know. Do people still do that? Hand out candy?
You know, I don't
know anyone that gives it out. I'm like, where are these kids? Are they having like the saddest trick or treat experiences now? Because it's like nobody's putting out candy. Everyone's going to parties and stuff.
It is a weird world. The other day I was at my cousin's little 6-year-old son's birthday, and I was like, oh, what a cute little girl. And then I was like, oh my God. Like, did I say, well, I didn't know. I, you know, like a child, you know what I mean? Like, there's this sort of like thing where you're like, you don't know what's right anymore. And it's, everything seems so sensitive and so weird. Mm. So that makes me think that people don't go out at like,
yeah, right.
I mean,
do you think in this day and age,
people go like, oh, just go around all these strangers' houses
and they'll give you stuff to eat. That's a good point. Like, I'm sure trick-or-treating is still big, like in my neighborhood, my parents' neighborhood, you know, but maybe not.
I know they do it like at the mall, and you can take your kids and they'll do it like at the mall where it's lit. And
oh, man. So in Waco, you know, we've got Eminem Mars there. Yeah. So like when high school was like right in front of Eminem Mars. So sometimes you could smell like that they were making Skittles or like Starburst or whatever. Yeah. And my kindergarten teacher, Linda Taylor, she's awesome. Her husband worked for Eminem Mars. And so around Halloween, we would get these like king size Snicker bars. It was the jam.
Really?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
So you always wanted to go like trick or treating if you knew, oh, so-and-so works for Eminem Mars because they're going to have king size, not the little ones.
No. Not those little bite size.
No,
things.
We weren't screwing around.
No. Yeah. What happens with both of you guys are off sugar though, right? Both you and Jane?
Yeah. Totally.
And you're going to get a bunch of candy and keep it in your house and just set it in a bowl right there. He's waiting to give it out to other people. And then like after a little while, that bowl's going to be like, Jamie, it's Snickers. Remember the M&M Mars plant? We've got M&M Mars in Waco. That's the funniest thing. Because you also have Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper, M&M Mars.
RC Cola.
David Koresh.
Yeah.
That's it.
Branch Davidians.
Yeah, the Fixer Upper show, I guess, is like done or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, and they're about to release a movie about the Davidians. So.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's about to just go back to. Yeah.
Finally.
Well, the guy from Tobacco and Firearms finally did like the first ever interview. I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago where he came out and said the whole story about, do you know about this, about the newspaper guy being involved and everything?
No.
So the deal was, you know, they were saying, yeah, these guys are collecting a lot of weapons. Obviously, Waco is like a conservative area. And, you know, so Tobacco and Firearms was going to be like, knock, knock. Hey, you guys got weapons in here. Cool. That's not technically legal. And then leave, right? But there's this guy that got hired on to write for the Waco Trib, like kind of a new reporter. And he wanted to get, you know, the scoop on the story about ATF going out there. And so he went out to where he thought the Davidians were and stopped and asked, hey, do you know where the Davidians are? And of course, he's talking to a Davidian and the Davidians, well, yeah, well, why do you want to know? Oh, because Tobacco and Firearms is about to come. And
so he goes
back to Koresh and says, hey, you know, they're coming for us like you predicted, like you prophesized. And so when they got there, they were like on guard, which probably wouldn't have happened.
Right.
Amazing. Yeah, but that piece of the story was missing from a lot of the things you see about that whole thing. So
I was engulfed. I was immersed in that. In fact, I was so stoked that I had the day off. Not before it burned down.
Yeah.
Like I was like on the phone with my friend that was also just had CNN on. And we were just both sitting there like talking about it. Same thing. Like I had that with people during the OJ trial.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was either my Aunt Maria or Andy Langer, and me would sit on the phone for like an hour and a half, like, what'd she just say?
Wow.
Pop culture events are pretty huge.
Yeah.
So, wait, that happened when you were like 3 years old.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Wow, that is so weird.
I know.
Do you have any memory of...
I don't. And actually, I think we were living in Nacogdoches at the time. We moved back to Waco in like 94. But I could be wrong about that.
I wrote a rap song called Give Me a Groove, Give Me a Groove, Give Me a Groove. And then in parentheses, that makes my big ass move with my friend Chris King. And one of my lyrical contributions was supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. When I pull my wiener out, it goes from here to Nacogdoches. That was one of my big contributions.
We have to write songs together. Come on, man. We got to finish that song.
No, it was finished. It was performed once.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean our song.
Oh, yeah. We do have to finish that song.
That just reignited my desire to write with you.
You know what the beat was for it?
What?
I Love Rock and Roll. It was down, out, down, out, down, down, out.
Yeah.
Down, out, down, down, out. Yeah. Give me a groove. Yeah. Give me a groove. Give me a groove that makes my big ass move. It was. Hey, it was 1990.
I love it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was wearing plaid pants.
Me too.
Hanging out with the guy that was supposed to be on the show today, but we kicked him off without him even knowing.
Oh,
it's cool because I didn't. No, it's no problem. I had no show to put out tomorrow, and his record came out a while back. He's fine.
He's cool? He's going to be okay with it?
Oh, yeah. He didn't think it was going to come out for a couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
I'm showing how I make the sausage here on the show. How do you book your show? Oh, I'm just hanging out a thing. I'm like, hey, you want to come over tomorrow? Just talk all day. And then in the middle of the thing, are you getting a lot of texts?
Emails. I'm sorry.
Are they business? No, it's
no,
okay.
No. Hey. It's from Grace Pettis. I love her.
Grace Pettis.
Do you know her? Have you had her on the show?
No, but didn't I just meet her the other day? Yeah, maybe. I met her.
Yeah.
I had dinner with her.
Cool.
I think so. Is she friends with Gabe?
Gabe Rhodes?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. She's friends with Kimmy Rhodes.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's how I went. I had dinner with all of those people. I met her.
Oh, cool.
I wrote her. She said, hey, I've got a lot of stuff to do right now. I can't do your show.
Oh, bummer.
Then she told me to reach out back again.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. She's sitting on a record, I think, that I hope I can talk about this, but she's got a record that I've happened to have been lucky to hear that is just the jam. And you know, Ruthie Foster cut one of her songs on her most recent record, that Joy Comes Back record, which is also awesome. But Grace is just, oh man, she's one of my favorites in town. Just amazing singer-songwriter.
That's what Kimmy was saying.
Yeah. Oh.
I believe anything Kimmy says. Do you like Kimmy?
I don't know Kimmy, actually.
She would like you.
I've heard her sing many times and just been totally blown away, but I've not dug into her material.
I feel like if you met her, then she might like you more than me. But that's all right. I'll still introduce you. I'm not scared.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I'm not a first impression kind of person, I think, anyway. So it takes a couple of times.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, she's a wonderful person. You know, I did this record with her.
Oh, that's
her
right.
Record. Yeah. It was
that's
really
right.
fun. I know.
Oh, yeah.
She's a nice person to have me do that.
Yeah.
I had a really good time doing it, too.
I've never heard a bad thing about her, ever. People just say the kindest things about her.
So wait a minute. So you don't dress up for Halloween?
I normally do, but this year I'm just not feeling it.
You want to just borrow my baseball cap, my Astros hat, and just wear that around the house while you hand out candy and just be like, I'm Johnny for Halloween?
Actually, so my friend, you know, I told you about my friend Jude.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He had this Halloween party, and you know Susan Gibson?
Just reiterate, Jude is five.
He's great. We're in a band together called JJ and the Swats. We'll have to come on the show sometime.
You guys are welcome to come on the
Thank
show.
Thank you. I'll talk to his people.
Talk to his people. His parents. His roommates. His
roommates. Yeah, I'll talk to him. And anyways, he threw this Halloween party and Susan Gibson went. You know, Susan Gibson.
What is this kid like? Who does he roll? He just rolls with like the stars?
I'm telling you, he's cooler than me. Yeah. And he knows everything. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Anyways, but Susan Gibson was at this party and I got a picture because she went to this Halloween party as me.
Oh, really?
She wore glasses. I'll just show you the picture afterwards. She wore glasses and put these like red lips on and just wrote Jamie Harris on a t-shirt. I was like,
that is awesome.
I was like, dude, she wrote Wide Open Spaces, dude, which that was the first song I have any memory of playing live in public. Like,
really?
What? Crazy. I was like crying a little bit, even though I knew that was kind of an
extreme. That's insane.
It was kind of an extreme emotion to have to something like that, I felt like. But I was like, wow, that's amazing. You know, it like was touching to me.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Also hilarious because I love how she's so funny.
It's neat when life works like that.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm like, what? Butterflies. Fantasy, like, land. What is happening?
I mean, if you went and told you that was about to play that song live for the very first time, and you went back in time, as you now, and you went like, hey, this girl is literally going to dress up like you for Halloween.
I know.
That is insane, man.
Insane.
That's insane.
Insane.
Sometimes that happens to me. You know, it happened to me with the Bodines. Like, I used to sit in high school and sing, play acoustic guitar and sing the harmonies along with the songs. And for the, they're basically their first and second record, maybe a little bit of their third album. And then I did it in real life. You know what I mean? Like, I was doing that thing that I was just, and I was like, if I would go back in time and be like, hey, this guy's going to ask you to do this, so I'm glad that you're doing this now, because at least you know half the songs that they're playing.
That was like me and Jimmy LaFave.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up listening to all of those records. And I mean, he was the guy that got me interested in Bob Dylan, you know? Wow. Like, I kind of went backwards with that. Yeah.
What kind of music were you doing? What were you?
What was I listening to?
Yeah.
Before... Oh, Patty Griffin, Dixie Chicks, Hanson, big Hanson fan.
You mean at the time that you met like Jimmy?
What was I? What did you say? I'm sorry.
When Jimmy turned you on to Bob Dylan.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I meant like just by listening to him.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. Like in, yeah.
So here you were. What year was
Donovan
that?
Donovan and stuff. 2004.
Okay. Yeah. You got into Donovan?
Yeah.
And me too.
Cool. I went and saw him with Kathy McCarty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Kathy came with me and it was awesome. She is the jam too. I love her.
So I'm saying, you're hanging out with all of these like fucking... You got Susan Gibson dressing as you. You're going to concerts with Kathy McCarty.
Oh, man. She was awesome. I love her. She, you know what? She is someone that is 100% herself in every situation, and I love that. It just makes me feel, like, free, you know?
Yeah, she's...
There's something about being around her that makes me feel courageous.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah. She's a Craig working with person.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And Brian Beattie.
And Brian Beattie, yeah. Because they were glass eye. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember she did this song. I think it was a Daniel Johnson. Didn't she do a record of Daniel Johnson songs?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did some shows with her during that time at Flipnotics. Did you ever see Flipnotics?
Oh, yeah. When I was in high school, I used to drive and see Matt the Electrician.
Oh, yeah.
With Southpaw Jones and not tell my parents where I went. Like, I think it was during the week or something, like Wednesdays. I would just drive to Austin and see Matt the Electrician.
Was Uncommon Grounds open then? Because that tour I did with Taylor... was like in 2006, Common Grounds.
Yeah, it was open.
Oh, yeah, no, I played there. And then I played there, I think that's where I played. There was one night someone yelled out Little Red Corvette, and it just so happened that I know that song. But I did like the album version with like the ending thing, like the girl, you got an ass like I'll never see.
Like, how did Waco respond?
Oh, it was great. I think it was kind of the hot. I was laughing while I was doing
it
because I didn't know where to stop, and I didn't want to be like the cheese dick that's an actual Prince fan that plays like the radio edit. I was going to do the record version. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. But I don't think anyone had ever they thought I was making it up because I was laughing when I was doing it. Anyway, so did you play there a lot?
Yeah, actually, so I was in a band with my dad called Better Off Dad. We were this band together, the two of us, and we played inside. So initially, we had this postage stamp stage is what we called it because it was this black and white checkered stage or whatever. And one time, my dad fell off the back of it because there was that door there and somebody opened it.
Yeah.
I found out later that this good friend of mine named Daniel Whittington, he's an amazing artist. He's now the vice chancellor of the Wizard Academy.
Oh, yeah. My friend Stephen Bellins lives by there.
Oh,
I've only
cool.
seen the sign.
Oh, man. I got to take you there sometime. Do you like whiskey?
I mean, yeah, I'll drink it.
Oh, yeah. We've had this conversation before.
I like vodka.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to take you there.
Do you have to drink whiskey to be a wizard?
No. It's just like if you're into whiskey, it's just like a bonus.
Okay.
He started this whiskey school and he's apparently like YouTube famous now.
It's a Wizard Academy / whiskey school.
It's, oh my gosh, yes.
This is amazing.
It's amazing. Daniel is a genius, and he actually, he was the first, when I first put a band together, he was my first drummer, and his dad, Brad Whittington, played bass. When I was like working in Austin, and him, it was Daniel and Brad, and then Brian Douglas Phillips, and everyone sang, and it was really fun. And I sang backups for Daniel. That's how I met Billy Masters.
Uh-huh.
That's how I met Hava Loran, Jess Klein, all those people.
Jess is great.
Yeah.
What's and, she doing? Does she still live here?
No, she's like in North Carolina or something with Mike June, you know?
Mm-hmm. No.
They got married.
Oh, yes, they did. Yeah. No, I still don't.
But they're, yeah, I think they've been touring a lot. I don't know.
I only kind of know her from when she lived in New York. I was hanging out with Jeff Klein a lot, and he was friends with her. And then she was on the show once, and then I didn't see her much ever again.
Mm, yeah. She's how I know about John Fulbright, actually. I can't remember if she was just about to go sing on that first record, that From the Ground Up record, or if they just made it. But a friend of mine was like, hey, you got to come to Jess's show tonight. And I was like, at Threadgills, I was like, cool, planning on it. She's like, you got to get here early. The guy that's opening is just amazing. And it was John Fulbright.
Wow.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. Let's go back to this thing where you didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Common Grounds.
Before Common Grounds.
Oh, cool.
We were talking about Jimmy LaFave. Right. Through Jimmy LaFave, you learned about Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
At the time, you were listening to Hanson and Patty Griffin, which is a very odd combo.
I was listening to a lot of stuff. I mean, also, you know, like Rush. And
really?
I listened to a lot of stuff. Yeah, a lot of random stuff. I also love like Hal Ketchum. But I mean, I went to the first Austin City Limits Music Festival, and my dad took me. And, you know, I saw Emmylou Harris and Buddy Miller and James McMurtry and Patty Griffin and Sean Colvin was like a special guest with Robert Earl Keane. I love Robert Earl Keane too. Like grew up on that kind of stuff too. And I loved it. And so like living, I mean, I remember like that getting my first copy of No Depression and being like, wow, this magazine talks about the same music I like. And like ripping out a picture of the Flatlanders, you know, and people had pictures of Justin Timberlake on their wall. I had like Joe Ely and, you know, like, you know, these like, you know, things out of Guitar Magazine or whatever. Like No Depression was like kind of my Bible. So, and yeah, all these artists I got like turned on to, like Michael Fricasso and, yeah, so it made sense for me to move to Austin because these were all my heroes were, you know. Yeah. And then I just keep finding out about more and more, like Eliza, you know, that was 3 years ago, I think, that somebody, or 2 years ago, that somebody made me aware of her. Somehow I missed her in my whole thing. I don't know how I've never learned about her until 2 years ago. And then I was like, wow, this is awesome. And then got, oh, she's the person that sings all these harmonies that I like that are so cool, which is inspiring. And,
yeah,
you know, so yeah, it's like I'm living my own weird little dream here.
And then you hung out with her, didn't you?
Yeah.
All these people like you. It's because you're so likable.
I got really lucky with that, too. Yeah.
I feel like I could turn you on to some music, but people are going to be upset. They're like, and what did he show you? And you'll be like, oh, the Partridge Family had this great.
Oh, awesome.
I'm joking.
Oh.
But I do. I'm a person that actually listens to the Partridge Family.
Oh, that's awesome.
I like that kind of pop music. That's where the jellyfish in me.
Totally.
Like, I have that same, I'm a little younger than those guys, like, not much, but just a couple years younger. But to grow up with the same kind of, like, Hanna-Barbera, you know, like, in this, those songs, they all had, like, songs that sounded like rock, like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Like, that Scooby-Doo said, Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? Yeah. That's like a song that was on the radio at the time or something. It was great.
It's a great jam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid. Bright colors. Light brights.
Please. I love the light bright.
So what are you gonna do? You're gonna stay in for Halloween. You guys might pass out candy, but you're still not gonna eat it. I'm worried about that.
I'm not gonna eat any candy. I'm on a roll. I've been like, you know, got off the diet sodas, which hit me. I started drinking those again last year when I was traveling a bunch, and sugar, man, I lost like 10 pounds. I went from a 10 to a 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's 10 pounds is 4 sizes?
Well, that's just how it worked in my world, I guess. I went down from a 10 to a 6.
Like you looked at your butt when you said my world.
Oh.
That's how it worked in my world.
Well, there's still nothing back there. I was just checking. I was like, maybe. It just... Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah.
So.
Any new music that you've heard of new people? Is there anybody that you've been turned on to lately that you like a lot?
Oh, yeah. Well, I love Caroline Spence. She put out this record that's really good last year called, oh man, I never remember the name of the record. It's called like Spades or something. But anyways, that's great. And then I love Courtney Marie Andrews.
You can use your phone.
Oh, can
you
I keep, really?
We're touching it like he's going to yell at me if I turn it over.
Totally love that Courtney Marie Andrews record, Honest Life, that came out last year. That's a supreme jam. I love, have you heard about Gospel Beach?
No.
They're one of my other favorites. Oh my gosh. So, Chris and Eleanor, you know, the Mastersons.
Of course.
When Jane and I were on tour, they happened to be in LA when we were in LA, and they took me to see this band called Gospel Beach, and they have a record that came out this summer called Another Summer of Love that's great. And I saw them at Americana Fest. They're killer live, just all look cool. Great record.
Yeah.
Great driving record too. You know, Spades and Roses is the name of that Caroline Spence record. That's okay. So awesome. And I don't know. I kind of bounce around. Lately, I was listening to a lot of Fats Domino last week, you know.
Yeah, he passed away.
Yeah, and
Tom
Petty.
I don't really know like a lot of his, Fats Domino stuff.
There's some really great stuff in there.
What's your favorite Tom Petty song?
That's a hard question.
It is hard, isn't it?
I can't pick a favorite.
He's like
the
Beatles
love...
for me. It's always changing.
Exactly.
Like I'm whatever kind of feeling I'm having at that time.
I got really into Echo, like that song. Yeah. I love that song. You know, I love Room at the Top too. I'm down with that. I'm down with.
I was gonna play that song to him, but then I thought that there was this one. I didn't want to do something that was so literal.
Yeah.
At the end of someone's life, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That. Then I was like, you know, I went back and found, what do you call it? Some good friend of mine from his first record, like the first song on the first record.
Yeah.
Anything that's rock and roll's fine.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? This is kind of like what this dude was about. Like,
yeah.
He was just about like rock and roll, baby.
Yeah.
You know, like you got to tell your mom doesn't like you hanging out with me. Well, you got to hip your mom that we got to live free.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. This is like, tell your mom to get hip, baby, because this is the thing.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I've been thinking about, like, all last year, Craig was challenging me to write a song that was basically like Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. And I was like, what? And then, but it made me think about things really differently, and it kind of opened my mind to, like, what can I say that's so simple? Like, and then, you know, I've been doing some gigs out at Hilltop Cafe with Johnny Nicholas, and he like knows all this really cool blues stuff that I've never learned before, and it's really brought my attention to the simplicity of stuff. Or even like in girl group stuff, you know, like what you can say that's just like, what is just honestly how you feel? And sometimes all you have to say is like, I'm so sad. Sometimes, because that's just how you feel. Or like, I want you so bad, because that's how you feel. And it doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. And so I'm experimenting with like writing these kind of like more rock and roll, but like really simple lyrics.
Yeah.
Kind of songs. And anyways, it's fun to think about stuff that way.
Yeah.
But you're right. And like, that's one of the reasons I love AC/DC so much. It's just like sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah,
you know?
Straight up. There's no, yeah. Same with Kiss.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
I really love you, baby. I know what you got. Let's get together. We'll get hot. They're just like, it's like so
yeah,
sad.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Nowhere, no room for hiding, baby. Nowhere to run. You pulled the trigger of my love gun. I like to say it as poetry. When you say it like that, it sounds really weird. Sammy Hagar is the best guy like that.
Oh, when my you do gosh. Like a, Sammy Hagar?
If you go like a... This one-way love affair ain't fair. It ain't no affair to me. It's all give and take, and you just take, and I can't take it, you see? I've given up on love this time. Me and my friends, we'll do just fine. I've done everything for you. You've done nothing for me.
Wow. I'm impressed.
There's a million ways to make love. A million ways I've been thinking of. There's a million ways to get high. I'm going to try them all just once before I die. But there's only one way. There's only one way. There's only one way to rock.
There's only one way. There's only
you,
one way.
You don't
way.
Know
there's
about my... I made, a, I made an is, animation superhero.
Oh my gosh.
And there's three episodes on YouTube. His name is Sammy Hagar Man. And his superpower is literally reciting the lyrics of Sammy Hagar. He says Sammy Hagar lyrics to the villains, and that renders them, they can't do anything. But you never see him doing that. He's always coming from a party. Like he's doing like public service announcements about like, be careful when you ride the subway. I'll post these on the Facebook page because they don't have very many views at all. It's really sad because they're hilarious. But he's always partying with some like news like news team from a small city.
I love
like,
the news.
Like in Albuquerque. I was partying with the sports guys from the Albuquerque news show at a awesome. At a sports convention or at a news convention. And then he's always hung over and starts to like throw up at the end of the thing and tells people to stop filming. It's pretty funny.
Oh, I gotta see that.
Sammy Hagar, man.
Have you seen Big Mouth?
I saw the first episode.
Was it not for you?
No, it's totally for me.
I loved it. But I went over to Bonnie Whitmore's house recently, and like at 11 o'clock in the morning, we're going to have like a breakfast hang or something. And she put on the first episode. She's like, I got to show you the show. And then we binge watched the entire thing.
Oh, you did?
I loved it.
I need to watch the rest of it. I love Nick Kroll.
Oh, man. To me, it was so funny because I thought the girl stuff was so spot on.
The boy stuff is super spot on.
I was going to say, there's some stuff that I was like, oh, my God, is that really how it is? You know, because I was like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, it must be dead on, though, because the girl stuff is so like, yep. Amazing.
That's what it's like.
I think that show is genius.
Me too. I think that guy's a genius. I didn't care so much for that live thing where they're the old men. I mean, I liked it. Him and John Mulaney. They did a live thing on Broadway where they're two old Jewish men.
No, I don't remember.
It's cool.
I haven't seen that.
But it's not. It wasn't as funny as I think some of his other characters.
Yeah. Oh, I love John Mulaney because I love Law and Order so much that when I, you know, he has like two whole bits about Law and Order that I love.
I thought you were like, I was like, he was on Law and Order?
No, I mean, he should be. Maybe he was one time. That would be genius. Dick Wolf should do that.
Dick Wolf.
If you're listening, Dick Wolf.
He listens to this show a lot, from what I understand.
I wish that's my dream. What's I just want to be on episode
what's your,
one.
I found, did you, have you listened to the Crime Town podcast?
No.
My cousin Christopher hit me to that the other day. It's real good.
Cool, I'll check it out.
It's about the crooked mafia dealings between the city government of Providence and the mafia.
Ooh.
Very good.
Awesome.
Did you listen to S-Town?
You know, I started it. Oh, no, I did listen. I did finish that whole thing. That was slow for me. I don't know was why.
That one got me. It really did.
I think I finished it.
I thought it was unbelievable. I thought it was like what real journalism is. Like when you go tell a story and then all of a sudden there's just this whole other story where you're like, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I think I started listening to that when we were driving back from, we like came back from tour a day early.
You and Jane?
Yeah, Jane and I did. And I was driving through the middle of the night and I think that that's when I started it. And I just might have not, I should like re-listen to that.
Yeah.
Because it didn't grab me.
Do you listen, what's your latest crime podcast?
Well, I'm a Sword and Scale gal.
You are.
I just put out a new one today. And I love My Favorite Murder.
Is that the one with the two ladies?
Yeah.
I don't like that. I've only heard one. It was live, and I just was like, what are you doing?
Well, that's kind of their thing, is that they don't know what they're doing, which often annoys me.
Because someone's listening to this show right now saying, like, wasn't he going to talk to a guy at some point? Exactly. What are they doing? I don't think this guy knows what he's doing.
Exactly. And they kind of, like, they just, like, fudge facts and stuff. I mean, not on purpose, but I like the idea that it is conversational because it's interesting. There's this whole like online community of people who get involved. Like the girl, my friend Tyranny, who is awesome. She dyes my hair, and every time I go in, we talk about, you know, true crime stuff, and she's like a murderino and all that stuff.
Do you what's the one? True Crime Garage?
No.
That's a good one. I really do like that one.
Cool.
The guys, they're funny, kind of, you know, not in a disrespectful way, but like they treat those, they're good.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on like normally, well, recently I've learned a lot of music, I think. I've been, you know, really focused on Jane's gig, and she's got a lot of really cool, she's about to start releasing some new material next year, and so she's going to start playing some of those songs live, and it's awesome.
How come you guys don't ever play me? I'm starting to feel bad. Like, what? I want you guys to invite me over and play me stuff.
Okay.
Like, I won't talk about it. I won't tell anyone I
heard. Yeah, we're at home a lot right now. It's awesome. You should come over.
Okay. I'm not joking. We've been talking about this for a long time.
I'm serious. Come over.
And Jane's supposed to be on our cooking show with fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Does she eat chicken still? Fried chicken?
She totally eats fried chicken.
Okay.
Yeah.
She should. Everyone should eat fried chicken. You don't eat meat.
No. I miss it.
You know who didn't eat chicken? George Reef.
Oh, yeah.
He would say, I don't eat the dirty bird.
Yeah, I don't think Sela or John do either.
Hmm. You know, there's some stuff I turn a blind eye to because I like chicken so much I don't want to know. I know it's terrible.
Wait,
I know.
Have you had Sela on your cooking show?
No, why haven't we had Sela on? See, the thing is that AJ books it.
Mm.
I mean, I bring people to him all the time. Like, oh,
you
got to do it with
Sela.
This guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, but first we got to have this guy make whiskey cake. So yeah, there. I mean, not that like I don't like our guests. I'm just saying like I don't.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of input on that show. I'm not joking.
Well, if AJ's listening, Sela, you should have Sela.
You should.
Mind-blowing food. We got, you know, she always cooks for rehearsals and stuff.
Oh.
And it's so good.
What's her specialty?
Oh, she has so many, but she makes this goat curry that I really like. I mean, I'm not eating meat anymore, but she can make lots of stuff that I can eat, too, because I'm like one of those can't-eat-anything people.
Oh.
Like no gluten, dairy, corn.
But can you eat Indian food? Do you like Indian food?
I do.
Do you have a good place right now? That new India place on Congress is good.
I like that place all right.
But is there another one? Something I'm missing?
I haven't had Indian food in a while, but New India is usually my go-to.
Go-to, yeah. That Garaj Mahal place is pretty good too.
Yeah, I really like Garaj Mahal too. I used to eat Indian food, I feel like, when I lived on the east side more. For some reason, living south, I kind of just eat, like I said, I get obsessive. I kind of just eat breakfast food a lot. So like I go to Magnolia a lot.
Do you eat breakfast tacos all the time?
Not tacos, but like eggs and potatoes, avocado.
Okay.
And smoothies. I make really good smoothies.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
We could have you on for smoothie. The one thing about
that's the only thing I can make.
Kathy Valentine wanted to be on our show, and you would be welcome to be on our show, but it's cooking and drinking, and I feel like it would be weird if two dudes just got super drunk and someone was standing there sober going like, Jesus, what's wrong with these guys?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't get super drunk.
Yeah.
There's one time I don't remember leaving a place.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I also didn't remember, like, when I saw the video, I was like, I'm like sitting at this giant grand piano, and it's like me and Willie Braun and AJ singing All Alone at the End of the Evening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever that.
Awesome.
Yeah, let's close with that. Do you know the words to that song? Hold on. Let me go over your stuff real fast. Because instead of having a thing, I don't have a song of yours to play. I'm not going to do an outro and go like, oh, that was Jamie Harris. Because we just did this
we
whole thing.
We just did this.
This is a very unique show. I've never done a show like this before.
I'm sorry that I like derailed you.
No, I'm so not sorry. I'm so excited that we...
Can I play a song for the people? Or is that uncool?
No,
that's cool.
I'm saying play a song for the people. But first, let's go over this real fast.
Oh, awesome.
Guys, you go to jamieharris.com for all of your Jamie Harris needs. But this Thursday, November 2nd, she'll be at the Cactus Cafe with Danny Click. He'll be playing guitar with you and doing his own songs and having an acoustic band. And then both your band and Danny Click's band will be playing Saturday, November 4th at 1 to 1 Bar. Go to jamieharris.com for all of your Jamie Harris needs. Don't forget November 8th through 12th, Big Band Bash at Hilltop Cafe, where Jamie will be playing with Jeff Plankenhorn and Scrappy Judd Newcomb on November 8th. Ladies and gentlemen, is it in tune?
I have no idea.
It's pretty questionable.
Pretty gnarly.
Maybe
this is a bad idea. Maybe we should
No, it's
just,
not a bad idea.
Maybe it's just...
try that other one. Except look out because that cord's around it for that grow light I have. Now that I'm not growing weed, I'm just trying to I'm trying to help Steve out. I repotted Steve the plant. This is a good update for you guys while Jamie switches guitars.
Okay.
Steve the plant was not doing well. And so what I did was I repotted Steve. I wish this was a video podcast.
Wait, I just
it's like fucking Jerry Lewis over here trying to.
I just don't want to, you know.
I know.
And there's like this. Cord.
But they fall down all the time.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah, they're guitars, man. Anyway, so Steve the plant wasn't doing well. I filled him with Miracle-Gro soil, and I put him in a new pot. He's looking like he's doing great. And then that girl that dumped me gave me that. Well.
Well, just
look, man.
Look, here.
All right, Jamie Harris finally got to tune one of my out-of-tune guitars. She will now treat you with the song. Don't forget, see Jamie Harris this Thursday, November 2nd, Cactus Cafe, Saturday, November 4th, 1 to 1 Bar, full band, along with Danny Click and his full band. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm so glad that we did it like this.
Me too. Thank you
guys for listening. I'm not going to come back on after this, so I hope you guys all have a great week. Go see Jamie Harris this week. Happy Halloween. I hope whatever you dress as, I feel like I'm probably going to have a costume, but I'm going to be like some guy named Dave that I saw working at Whole Foods 2 years ago. A lot of times I'll just show up somewhere and people go like, you don't have a costume on, and I'll be like, oh, no, no, no. Totally. I saw a guy working at Whole Foods. I thought he had great pants on. I'm him.
That's
for Halloween.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's not a great costume. But Jamie, thank you for doing the show. What's this song you're going to do?
It's called You Were the One.
All right. This is totally, no one ever plays live. I don't ever do shows like this. So thank you for being the groundbreaker.
Thanks
you were the one.
Let me hang out in your apartment all day.
Jamie Harris.
Can we go back to January? We were in love. I was calling you from San Francisco on the telephone. Had to travel so far just to make sure that you were the heading my way. Stayed up all night. It just felt right. 'Cause you were the
awesome.
Thanks, man.
I love you, Jamie.
I love you.